Here we go. Welcome to the Rod of Iron Podcast, Fundamental Baptist, breaking down discussions, dogma, and daily events. I'm your host, Pastor Bruce Mejia, First Works Baptist Church in Amati, California. Joined by the fundamentalists in our church, we have Brother Hightop Macian, Jacob Lanz, and Marco Sanchez from our church here. No throwing gang signs, please. And we got some interesting topics we're going to be discussing tonight. But before we get into that, I just want to remind you, of course, you can watch the full-length episodes on YouTube, but if you just want to listen to the audio version of it, you can go on our website, fwbcla.org, click on the podcast section, and then all the episodes are available on there. And then also, you can listen to us on Spotify if you have a subscription to that. So just keep that in mind. Looking forward to tonight's episode. We're going to be discussing possibly the science behind psychopaths, and then we're also going to be talking about Joe Biden's son.
Yeah,
he's in the news right now, right?
Hunter.
Yeah, Hunter.
Hunting for crack?
Yeah. More than two ways.
Yep. And then we'll see what else we're going to get into tonight. And we've actually taken some time off because of the remodeling
COVID.
That we have to...
COVID.
Yes. Hey, Ulysses, can you mute Marcos' mic, please? We've taken some time off because we have to really relocate our podcast room. And so it's looking a lot better, amen? I like
amen.
It.
Amen.
Yep. And so looking forward to tonight's episode. Gentlemen, are we ready?
Yep.
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Don't look at us, you lie.
Hey, dang. Bro, it's not even moving, bro.
Bro, you need to be paying attention.
Hey, it's not moving.
Yeah,
hit the.
Is it moving?
I'm just kidding. I just gave him a concern. He's like, what?
Who are you trying to hit?
I don't know. There's something flying around.
He's on my imaginary friend.
I have imaginary enemies, bro, not friends.
He's on the Turks. One of them being the Jews and the Turks.
Those are not imaginary. Those are very real.
Turks are not your enemies. The Jews are.
Enemies of the gospel.
Right? Ain't that right?
Yeah.
My Armenian friend?
Amen.
That's right.
The war's over.
Why the war? Yeah.
The war's over.
Why'd you, like...
Put your guns
take
down.
So long to say that.
What? Amen?
Yeah.
Hey, so...
Think about it.
The Armenian war is over, right?
No.
It's not over?
No.
Marcos, didn't you say it was over?
They signed, like, a ceasefire treaty on Sunday.
It's probably not over
it's
then.
Not over,
it's not over within his heart.
You're just probably a big Trump supporter. Everything he tweets, you take.
He didn't tweet it.
He's getting personal over here.
He did.
I don't know if he did.
Yeah.
I just saw it on
Where
the news.
Where did you hear it?
On the news.
What news?
I don't even remember what it was.
Yeah. He doesn't want to say Fox.
Yeah. I don't remember. I don't know
if it was
like an animal of some sort. Like,
something Carlson. Something
Carlson. I don't remember. But it was. It's valid, though.
No, it's not over. There has been. This is the third ceasefire. The first one was brokered by Russia.
Well, let's start from the beginning. Why is there an Armenian war versus the Turks? Why is that?
Over territory.
Azerbaijan.
Yeah. Well, Azerbaijan is Turkey Jr.
Little Turkey.
It's over territory.
Young Turks.
If you ask for Armenia, most of Eastern Turkey, all of Azerbaijan is Armenia. Mm. And you know, it all kind of stems from the Armenian genocide. Well, it all really stems from the Young Turks, which, you know, if you ask me, they were crypto Jews who kind of overthrew the Sultan of the Ottoman Empire. Took over the land and the government and formed what is now modern day Turkey.
So go on.
And then exterminated the Armenians and Armenia, or Armenians at the time, back when Istanbul was Constantinople. You know, they were businessmen in the area and they were doing real well. So if you ask the Armenians, you know, the genocide took place and it was basically like an ethnic cleansing of Armenians. And a lot of people died. It is true. It really did happen. You know, I've heard stories from my family of my great grandparents kind of being witnessing their whole family like being buried alive. Just, yeah, horrific stories like that. And Armenia now is a very small country with roughly about a 3 million population. So the disputed territory.
You got to make sure you're talking to the mic, like talking to the mic.
Yeah. The disputed territory is right in between Armenia and Azerbaijan. So in the early 90s, there was a war. There was the first war with Azerbaijan where they tried to. They tried to expel the Armenians out of that region, which is Nagorno-Karabakh, or as Armenians call it, Artsakh. They tried to expel the Armenians. The Armenians ended up winning that war against them and recovering even more territory than they had before. And I don't know if the Turks are kind of taking advantage of this whole coronavirus. And when I say Turks, I do mean Azerbaijanis. They're taking advantage of this whole coronavirus. You know, the world is kind of on lockdown. They're like, maybe it's a good time to attack and try to rekindle this war, this territorial dispute. So, yeah, that's what's happening now. And a lot of people have died on both sides.
That's sad.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, not just a lot of people, just innocent people.
Yeah.
a lot of innocent people on both sides.
Yeah, and kids. A lot of kids. I mean, we're talking about 17, 18, 19-year-olds.
Right.
Who haven't not seen life yet. Like, right. They just don't know.
Well, Marcos and I, we were in Glendale, which is like the hub of Armenians, right?
Yeah.
We're there on Saturday. We're picking up some computers. And, man, I mean, the Armenians, I mean, you see the flags. They're dragging. What flag is that? The Turkish flag?
Azerbaijani.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they're dragging the Turkish flag, too.
They're dragging it on behind their vehicle. And
hoods were painted.
Yeah, hoods were painted.
On cars. So. That was crazy.
It looks like everyone. It looked like every Armenian in Glendale was like on edge.
I was on edge
more than ever.
I was on edge looking at them on edge.
Yeah. Armenians already are on edge, and if you just add that to the recipe, it's just
disastrous.
Yeah. I was telling Pastor, I was like, we gotta get out of here before they find out I'm not Armenian.
Yeah, because I could use my 10% Armenian. I said I could tell them I'm like 10% Armenian. Oh, I'm like, just look at my nose. That's what I'll tell them.
Well, your beard is more. Yeah. It's what's Armenian.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. My grandfather had a pretty massive beard.
Yeah.
So. I think the nose, too. Don't Armenians have, like, somewhat of a.
I need to see your profile.
Look, you see the nose? You don't see the nose?
Does he pass?
Do I pass? Yeah. We got four Armenians. Well, three and a half.
We have one more coming down from Washington State.
Leon. Oh, that's right.
Leon. He's coming in a week or two.
Oh, amen. Awesome. Yeah.
He loved the church. He came down to visit once, and he's like, yeah, I think I'm moving down.
Yeah, you know what's cool about that is that he came to church, and then he brought his parents.
He did.
And then his parents came back without him.
Yeah.
They did.
Because he went back. Oh, you said Seattle?
I think he's in Everett, just north of Seattle.
Okay. So he went back home, but his parents came like a couple weeks ago, which is pretty cool.
They did, yeah.
That's pretty. Did you get a chance to talk to them?
Yeah, I said a little.
Yeah.
Then he's coming down, and you know, in the hopes of getting his family saved, and he's kind of on fire, like soul winning.
Yeah, amen.
So
it's a good deal.
It's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, we have Moses.
We have Moses,
right?
Russian Armenian. Well, he's Armenian from Russia.
Yeah.
Because you gotta know this much that there is a huge Armenian diaspora because after the genocide, Armenians dispersed throughout the whole world. You know, so there's a lot of Armenians everywhere.
Yeah.
So don't be surprised if you run into an Armenian and somebody says they're from Iraq. They might be from Russia, might be from Armenia, Canada.
Where's Leon from?
Leon, you know what? Maybe Lebanon, if I remember
correctly. Oh, yeah.
Because he does speak Arabic also. Mm.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Pretty much all over the world.
Amen. Yeah. Well, hopefully we get more Armenians in the church because we got a big Armenian population here, right? But I know they're hard to reach. They're very difficult to reach because they're part of the whole Orthodox. They were the first Christians, quote unquote.
Yeah.
That's what they believe, right?
You try to take that identity away from them, and it's trouble.
Yeah. Yep.
It's hard. But, I mean, I could approach them like my parents. I started with this other approach where, hey, you know, one of the first Baptists were Armenian. You know, the Paulicians.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, not to
Is that fake news?
No, that's real news.
No. I don't remember that. You guys remember anything like that? The Paulicians were Armenians?
Look they it were. Up.
Google it.
How do you know that?
Well, number one, it was on Pastor Jimenez's documentary.
Pastor Tabmazian was the first.
Pastor Tabmazian.
Hey, that's where I learned of it. So.
He's like, that's the only thing I paid attention to.
Yeah, so. Look it up. Ulysses.
He can't.
Oh, he can't.
He's busy connection. Looking at the making sure the audio right. is on point. No, I can look it up right now. Let's see.
It's not fake news.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Wikipedia is like the first one. Paulicians were Christians adoptionists. Sect from Armenia, which formed in the 7th.
Because when we talk about Cilicia in the New Testament, that was an Armenian kingdom.
Paulician, member of the dualistic Christian sect that originated in Armenia.
That's right.
In the mid-7th century.
What does dualistic mean? Does anyone know?
Member of a dualistic Christian sect. Basically, there's two of them.
Oh.
That's what it means. Dual, okay. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
You ever heard of the Duel of Fates? Just kidding.
It's a good song.
It was influenced most directly by the dualism, there it goes again, of Marcionism, a Gnostic movement in early Christianity. That doesn't sound good, Hike. Good.
They're Gnostics.
A Gnostic religion founded in the 3rd century by the Persian prophet Mani. Mani?
And they have their own prophet.
Yeah. Doesn't sound very good.
What's the other sect?
Hopefully it was the good sect, right?
Well, I mean, that's what happened usually with these groups is like they would go apostate.
Well, they say the Waldensians went apostate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the Waldensians were like the biggest Christian group, quote unquote, like the Baptist Christian group in Europe for hundreds of years. They had like the most martyrs out of all of those Christian groups in Europe. But they went apostate. You know, it happens sometimes, you know? It's pretty interesting. What are you reading?
Yeah, I was just looking into the details.
He's just trying to look for more excuses.
Oh, man. So anyways, Hike is Armenian. So
it's a horrific situation now in Armenia, as you can imagine. So it's sad. Obviously, you know, I'm rooting for my kin, you know, but at the same time, they're both unsaved. God is not a respecter of one false god over another.
We shouldn't root for anybody, though.
Yeah, but, like, I'm talking about this is extended family. I'm not rooting for them,
it shouldn't be said that you're rooting for them. It should be said that you hope that they come out of it safe, you know?
Yeah, I understand that.
Not that they win a war, because war is just ugly. It's bad. It's unbiblical, you know? Especially for Christians, but just like the taking of life, you know?
Yeah.
You don't agree?
Look, I'd be lying if I said that. I wasn't. I'm just going to tell the truth. It's not easy.
Yeah. You got to renew your mind. Because here's the thing. If you're against any other war with any other race, but you're not. But you're for war when it comes to your race, and at that point, you don't really have a core value. You're against war. You know, you got to make sure when you're against war, you're against any war, regardless of what race is involved.
I don't want there to be a war.
Yeah. But I'm saying, like, as far as, like, rooting, like, you wouldn't root for, like, if it was a war between other races, you wouldn't root for either or.
No.
Because you're against war.
True.
So you got to ask yourself, if you're against war, that's a core value that you believe, then you should have that same perspective when it comes to this war, because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if they're Armenian or Turks, it's souls.
Absolutely, right? I do agree with that.
But I understand you got people, you got family there, and so there's a love for your people, but there should be a love that they would, you know, come out of it safely, not necessarily that they win a war.
I understand.
Because in order for them to win the war, people have to die.
Yeah.
You know?
I understand that. What I'm saying is, like, when I go on Facebook and I have family members on Facebook, and they post things every single day, and that's the news to me. You know, their post is what I know of this war,
right?
And I look at the photos of all these kids dying, and I'm like, man, that very well could have been me. You know, if I was in Armenia, and there's a mandatory draft and I have to go, I don't necessarily get to see the other side of that story. So my compassion is more with what I see.
Exactly.
You're absolutely right. Yeah, they're
mine eye affecteth mine heart, the Bible says.
Yep.
You know? So you got to be careful what you watch. Be because we could easily be swayed and persuaded towards one side based upon what we listen to, what we hear, you know.
That's true.
The bottom line is, you know, war is bad, and we don't want people to die and go to hell without the gospel. And hopefully these people, you know, it kind of wakes them up.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I made this post on my Facebook that whether you're Armenian or Turk, if you die and you don't have Christ as your savior, you're
damned. You're damned.
I got a lot of backlash for that. And,
yeah,
you know, let it be. But it's true. Because my parents were saying, oh, okay, hi, you shouldn't be saying that at a time like this. And I said, well, when there was no war, I was saying it and nobody was listening, you know, but the message still stays the same, yeah, really.
Yep.
It's just it strikes you even more now.
It's closer to home.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely. So,
well, speaking of hell, did you guys know hell is a place of fire?
What?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a place where you burn.
Like you might burn. Bible, right?
Wait, yeah. Hell is just a place of torment.
Well, you know, yeah, it's a place of torment because it's a place where people burn, and burning is torment.
Wait, you're telling me that burning hurts?
Yes. Yes. I'm kind of curious to know because, you know, obviously Manly Perry's been preaching this weird nonsense. And, you know, I honestly, in my opinion, and I don't, obviously people are going to get offended at this. People got offended at my sermon from Sunday, you know, that, he just sounds like an unsafe person talking about the Bible. If you listen to his sermon on Jesus is fireproof, he sounds like an unsafe person saying that. And if I were to conjecture whether he's saved or not, I would say no. Because the explanation or his explanation of hell is so bad. It's as if you put a Bible in the hand of an unsaved individual, yeah, and just had them explain it. That's exactly what they would come up with. Or something similar to that.
I wonder, is this something he's believed all along, or is this something new?
Well, he says in that sermon that he believed that he used to teach that Jesus Christ did go to hell and he did suffer.
Yeah.
Oh, in hell. You're right. Cause
yeah, he used to teach that.
I heard his part of his sermon, and he said there was a certain brother at his church, Brother Matt or something, who was showing him this fact that...
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I remember that part. And he convinced him. That reminded me of Doka.
Yeah.
I was about to say, it's like, why are these guys always convinced by, like,
their someone named and look, Matt, there's nothing wrong with,
another,
like...
Another person named Matt.
Well, there's right? nothing. There's nothing wrong.
Matt LeBlanc. Oh,
yeah.
Is it the same Matt?
Oh, it should be the same Matt.
No, it can't be.
No, he's at, like, a Presbyterian.
Matt LeBlanc. Because black is white, right? Matt LeBlanc.
There's nothing wrong with, like, a pastor getting insight mm-hmm. about the Bible from their church members on secondary and third issues.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's like, true. You know, like parables or seeing, like, some deep nuggets about the pre-tribulation or not the pre-tribulation, the what? Post-tribulation rapture. Or, like, you know, on Zionism or on Jesus Christ. But, man, when you come to, like, the essential doctrines yeah. like hell... And the people are just convincing you on that. That's bad. Yeah. That makes me think that you're probably not saved. And look, the sermon is called Jesus is Fireproof, right?
And let alone just burning animals for the sake of eating them. You know?
Well, yeah, that was the point that he made, right?
Well, check
yeah.
out this verse.
He made
too.
The point that basically the reason they burnt the offerings is because the Levites were eating it.
Well, did they ever boil it? Because you could boil food to yeah. make a stew out of
well,
it.
Well, I mean, they took the instruction. I just read through Leviticus today. The instruction was to remove the caul, the kidneys, the dung, and the fat, and to burn that without the camp. They weren't eating that.
Yeah.
So to make the argument that, you know, oh, they were just burning it because they wanted. And he, I don't know if you heard it, but he was just like, barbecue. He just relates it to, like, you know, his Texan food or whatever. And then it's just like, well, you know, there's a bunch of other stuff that they didn't eat, but they burned mm-hmm. outside of the camp.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, what in the world? You're a pastor. You should know these things. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He said some weird stuff in that sermon. And, of course, he said some weird stuff on the John 15 sermon about the fruit of the vine.
Mm-hmm.
He said that
Judas
had probably more converts than all the apostles. And he said something to the extent of, like, he says, there's a bunch of examples in the Bible.
He's one example is Judas Iscariot. I think he had more converts than anybody else. I can't prove it.
That's what I believe.
That's my opinion.
The disciples suspected themselves and not Judas because he had the most converts. Like, what the heck?
But the funny thing is, he's like, there's so many examples, and then he says, you know, I can't prove it. Exactly. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's fishy.
My wife was telling me, she's like, well, maybe, you know, the reason he's teaching, if he's not saved, the reason he's teaching or trying to, like, mitigate the importance of the fire in hell is because he's going there.
I heard Ray say the same thing. I think it was Ray.
It might be. You know, they're trying to minimize their punishment because they know they're going to receive it. But, you know, I know a lot of people are going to disagree with me on that, a bunch of snowflakes out there. But, look, this is not, like, a difference in opinion. And then you have, like, other pastors who are getting, like, on Pastor Shelley and stuff, and they're like, I called him, and he says he believes the hell is burning, so he doesn't. You took him out of context. Listen to the sermon yourself.
Yeah, Joe Major.
Joe Major. So he's either lying to his congregation or he's lying to Joe Major because he specifically said it's not burning.
Yeah.
So you just want to ignore that? This is the kind of nonsense leadership that's out there.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds more like Manly Perry is saying both things because he's saying it's burning. And when he's saying it's not burning like an actual fire, but then he calls his sermon Jesus Christ is fireproof. Yeah.
Well, I think what he means is he's saying that it's there. He's saying he's fireproof because he's not burning. He didn't burn.
But then that means there's fire in hell.
He's contradictory.
Jesus Christ is not getting burned.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah. But he's not saying there is fire, though.
He's saying that there's not fire.
Yeah, he's saying it's just
torment. Because when I first heard the sermon, I didn't hear him say that that hell did not have fire in it until I seen the clip from Pastor Shelley, and I seen it. Is it from that same sermon?
It's from the sermon, Jesus is Fireproof.
He's probably picturing like those fake fireplaces. I must have missed out on
things.
Like fake fire. They just turn it as like a screen.
Well, to him, it's like...
Like the light. Because
his...
The wind is like a light.
His argument is that it's not fire because if it was fire, then it would have just like disintegrated whatever.
Yeah, it just burns it up.
But then the burning bush, it disproves that. It's contradicting that fact.
But if it's like...
So he's basically limiting God because he thinks that God can't create a fire that can just burn something forever. Just like the burning fiery bush. It was burning, but it was not consumed.
But on top of that, it's like you got like an everlasting soul.
Exactly.
Like, you know, that's going to spend eternity somewhere.
Right.
It's like it needs to be burning forever.
Yeah.
You know, it can't just like be
annihilated. The smoke of their torment shall ascend forever and ever. That means it's continually burning.
Yeah. And where does smoke come? What do you need to have smoke?
Fire.
Yeah.
Where there is smoke, there is.
It's a fog machine.
Dang, that's deep.
That's pretty deep, man. I should fly you out to San Antonio, Texas.
Oh, hell no.
Oh, man. Did you guys see that video that Pastor Anderson posted about that idiot who's trying to, like, teach Hebrew and stuff?
Or Chris Tucker.
Yeah.
He's like, what the hell he just say?
Oh, that was good. That was funny. That was out of nowhere, man.
I had to rewind.
Yeah,
like, it was so funny.
I didn't listen to the whole thing yet.
I did. It was really good.
Yeah, it was good. The guy just had the wrong word.
He just couldn't
read Hebrew. He had the wrong word.
He said that basically moisture.
Yeah, it's not cakes. It's cakes. Yeah.
But cakes was another word in the sentence.
The cake was already there.
Yeah.
It was a descriptor of the oil, the flavor of the cakes.
Yeah.
Right.
As fresh oil.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
It's fantastic when somebody who knows what they're talking about like disproves these idiots.
Yeah.
Oh.
So Ulysses and I, we're going to start doing a we're going to read the Reign of Valera. I was going to say 1960. Dang. We're going to read the Reign of Valera Gomez and we're going to record it. So I've already done 3 chapters from the Book of John. So I'm going to do a separate channel just uploading those. And it's caused me to practice a lot and just read through it out loud and whatnot. I did 3 chapters today. I'm going to be the whole Book of John. And then Ulysses is going to do 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John.
You should put it like on Spotify too.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Spotify and Spoon.
Spoon. Hey, Spoon? Are you guys on Spoon?
No, Spoon is cool, dude.
Dude.
No idea.
Me and Ray were on there last night, but nobody was listening. We were just talking.
Spoon is awesome. So Spoon is an app where it's like you could do a live broadcast. It's only audio.
Okay.
But you can go live and then people can call in
on
your phone. and you just pick up specific topic, you just start talking away. Pastor Anderson was on there last night, and he was talking about black holes, and people were calling in regarding like just completely irrelevant things, and he ended up just getting them saved.
Yeah,
like over the phone, and people are on there like you can comment and stuff, and he's just getting them saved. That's pretty cool. It's cool. A new tool. It's called Spoon. By the way, follow me on Spoon. I'm on Wild Olive Tree 16, but I'm gonna make one for the Rod of Iron podcast. And then I'm gonna make one for this probably. That's a good idea.
Are we gonna go live on Spoon?
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh yeah. We'll do this and we'll go live. Like we'll have special editions where we go live and we answer phone calls and whatnot.
Nice.
You know?
It's cool.
It's pretty neat.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got like a little kid saved on there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's an app.
Yes. It's an app. It's called Spoon. It's basically, they call them like DJs, the people who go on there. You can actually make money on there.
It's so funny because I had just seen the ad that morning, and I'm like, what the heck? Because I was listening to, I think.
This is what it looks like. So you get fans, you following or whatever. Then you have something called Cast, Talk, and Wall.
It's like Instagram.
Yeah, it's kind of like Instagram. Mm-hmm. And
for audio.
Yes. You could put some people like literally just sing on there and people like follow you and stuff or become a fan of yours and they can send you money or whatever. It's pretty legit. Pretty legit.
What's that book you got?
Oh, yeah. So I was reading this book, Without Conscience. This is a good book. Speaking of reprobates, mm-hmm. Man, everything's just flowing today, yeah, huh? And this is a really good book on psychopaths. It's called Without Conscience, The Disturbing World of the Psychopaths Among Us. Robert Hare, who is he's the expert on this. And man, when you read this, now he tells you in the beginning of the book, like, hey, don't make the mistake of just like starting to think of people.
Label everybody a psychopath.
But the thing is, it's kind of like hard not to do that. Because you start reading their characteristics and it's like, oh man. Mm-hmm. I wonder if so-and-so is a reprobate.
Like a lot of body language books do that too. They tell you, it's like, hey, don't like use this on everybody because it's hard to turn off sometimes. Like,
yeah. Yeah, and as I'm reading this, I'm looking through and I'm thinking like of people that I've known or people that we've kicked out. No one that's in church right now, obviously. But let me find something here. Go ahead, talk amongst yourselves because I'm going to look for something.
That's not the guy in Pastor Jimenez's documentary.
I believe so. Mm-hmm. Believe it is.
Okay.
It is, right?
I think so.
He was like the
foremost
authority on psychopaths or something. Or was that a lady?
No, it was a guy. I don't remember. It was a guy in the documentary.
Yeah, I think Pastor Jason Robinson was like, is this the same guy that that Pastor Jimenez had on the documentary?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it is. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for this. Where is it at? Here we go. I think this is it.
The checklist?
I know. Yeah, where's the checklist?
It's like somewhere in the beginning. I think it might be like chapter...
Here we go.
Three.
So look, I mean, the world is filled with psychopaths. And obviously we would refer to them as reprobates. But the thing is, like, when you think of a psychopath, you think of someone who's just like an axe murderer. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Which they do exist. But some psychopaths are just, for lack of a better word, like normal psychopaths. They're just like, they live normal lives. And they're not into killing people. Can you check the camera? Let's check it real quick. You lied. Those cameras are good? Good?
It's good.
All right. They're not into killing people, but they steal money.
The corporate psychopath.
Yeah, the corporate. There's a corporate psychopath.
They use people.
They use people. Like, there's a couple stories in here. One of them was, like, this guy, he met a girl, and he developed a relationship with her, and he moved in with her. And she's just like, he was kind of weird. Like I'd come home and he would have like a stack of TVs in the corner or whatever. And he's just asleep. You know, he would always have just these random things in the house or whatever. And come home late and just kind of living kind of like
shifty guy.
Yeah, like a shifty guy. And then one day she said that she asked him, she said, hey, can you go get me some ice cream from across the street? And he just looked at her and I can't remember her name. Let's say her name was Barbara. He goes, oh, Barbara, you've always gotten whatever you wanted, huh?
Yeah.
And he got up and he walked out and he just never came back.
Dang.
He just never came. But you know, that's how psychopaths are.
Yeah. Yeah, he was like, yeah, the world doesn't revolve around you.
Hey, he's all, you've always gotten whatever you wanted, huh? So what flavor do you want? Cold Stones or Baskin Robbins?
He just never comes back.
Yeah. He ate the ice cream.
Yeah, he actually got the ice cream and just ate it and left.
I mean, this has some horror stories in there that obviously I wouldn't want to like say on the podcast just because it's brutal. Like, there's some wicked people out there. But there's others who are just like, they're void of a conscience, so they're able to lie and cheat and steal. And but they basically tell you, like, you know, if you have one of these psychopaths in your life, you just got to get away from them. Doesn't matter what level they're at. Obviously, if it's an axe murderer, but if it's like, if he's just even just a chronic liar, you got to get away from that.
So individual. Would you say that every psychopath is reprobate?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. But obviously, like, you know, when you compare it to the Bible, every reprobate is not necessarily going to be like a sodomite, mm-hmm. because you think mm-hmm. of Judas Iscariot. Mm-hmm. Judas Iscariot was not a sodomite. Mm-hmm. What was the iniquity that just kind of like bound him?
He's stealing,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. You know? But here's the thing is, I believe every reprobate has the potential to be a sodomite because they're capable of all wickedness.
Yeah, they're full of sin.
They're full of, you know, murder. They're full of hate. They're full of debate and all those things. So it's kind of giving you like an overview. It's letting you know that they're capable of whatever wickedness there is. You know, and they lack empathy, so they have zero empathy towards others. And in fact, like they were interviewing this serial killer, and what they were basically saying is that they don't know how to feel. Like, they don't know what it's like to be afraid. And they're interviewing a guy who was in prison, and the guy basically said, like, you know, the guy was explaining to him, like, you know, so tell me about some of the crimes you've committed or whatever. And he was just like, yeah, you'd be surprised how, like, you know, people, you know, behave when you're pointing a gun at them. You know, some people shake and some people cry. They use the restroom on themselves and stuff. And he just kind of going through that list. And the guy who's interviewing basically asks him, like, so what would you do? Like, how would you feel, he said, if someone pointed a gun at you? He says, I would run, or I'd try to take the gun away, or I'd do this. He goes, okay, but how would you feel, though? And then the guy responded by saying, I don't understand the question. But the reason he didn't understand it because he doesn't know how to feel.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
They're past feeling.
Exactly. And then they're just, it just kind of confuses them, you know?
And they're like, talk about their, like, their weird goals that they have, even though, like, they're locked up for years.
They're very grandiose.
Yeah.
Their goals.
Yeah.
What the heck?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're very grandiose. It's like, they basically... One of the attributes of a psychopath is that they have these, like, extravagant plans. And, you know, they'll interview these people in prison that are doing life for, like, killing someone. And he's like, yeah, when I get out, I'm going to be, like, an Olympic swimmer, gold, you know, medalist or something. And I'm just going to live off the winnings off of that. And it's like, dude, you're here forever.
Yeah, you have a life sentence.
You have a life sentence. You're not going anywhere. But they, like, they'll say things like that. And that's one of the reasons.
They believe it.
Yeah, I mean, they're self-deceived.
That's crazy.
And the thing is like, you can see why people are at times are attracted to the psychopaths,
mm-hmm.
because the way they speak, okay. You know.
Well, even like the writer of that book, he's talking. He's like, man, like, because he went to go work at a ward, at a prison, and he's like giving these people therapy, and he's like, what in the world? Like, I'm being like drawn into these people's stories as well, because this is like so like, you know, yeah, grandiose.
I'm thinking about, like, cult members and stuff.
Yeah.
Not cult members, cult leaders, sorry.
Yeah.
It says here, psychopaths often come across as arrogant, shameless braggarts, self-assured, opinionated, domineering, and cocky. They love to have power and control over others and seem unable to believe that other people have valid opinions different from theirs. They appear charismatic or even electrifying to some people. Psychopaths are seldom embarrassed about their legal, financial, or personal problems. Rather, they see them as temporary setbacks, the result of bad luck, unfaithful friends, or an unfair and incompetent system. So,
I'm thinking about, like, Manly Perry. Because he's talking about, like bad friends and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
But he's, like, he's the one that's saying that Pastor Anderson's a bad friend.
Well, okay. So that's interesting you said that. Because one of the things of a psychopath is that... Their lack of empathy is so, like, astounding. Because you have a guy, like, for example...
void.
Yeah. Because there's a story about a guy, and he basically... he like stabbed this dude at a bar, like stabbed him, brutally stabbed him, didn't kill him, almost did. The guy was laid up in the hospital for like 9 months or something, right? And that guy basically did life because the guy was trying to take his life, or he was trying to take that guy's life. And when they interviewed him, he's like, man, that guy has it so good. He's over here, you know, and laid up in the bed for 9 months, and I'm over here in prison. It's like, dude, what are you talking about? You, like, stabbed. He goes, he's lucky I didn't kill him. I mean, he has it good.
He should thank me.
Yeah, that's basically what he was saying. It's like, right. What in the world? Crazy. But they're very grandiose. They lack empathy. They're egocentric. They have a lack of remorse and guilt. So it's just like
nothing's their fault.
Nothing is their fault. Not only that, but they just don't care at all. Like they
you can tell, you can imagine how someone like that cannot get saved because they cannot admit they're a sinner.
Okay,
so yeah. I mean, I did nothing wrong.
So before I forget, so because they have a lack of remorse and guilt, the reason they know that is because when these psychopaths that score high on the psychopathy checklist, like murderers and stuff. When they discuss their murders, they discuss it like they're going to go get milk at a store. I'm talking about like brutal murders where just like, you know, decapitations or whatever. They talk about it like they're buying like bread at a store. And so these psychopaths, what they do is the way they know. Well, basically what tips them off to not go too far in a conversation is they observe the countenance of the recipient of what they're saying. He's like, when he's talking about, yeah, I did this and did that, if the person starts making like a face, they're just like
crying.
Yeah, it's just like, okay, I need to stop. So I got to be careful when I say that. Because they don't know. They don't have a filter. They have no feelings. You know what I mean? It's crazy.
That is crazy.
Yeah. And they're very deceitful and manipulative. Extremely deceitful and manipulative. They're able to just coerce people into like doing crazy stuff. Shallow emotions is another one. Let's see what else. Impulsive. Poor behavior controls. Need for excitement. Lack of responsibility. They rarely can keep a job. They go from job to job to job to job to job because they're just constantly bored. What else? A lot of crazy stuff. It's a good book. But it made me think of like people in my life. Like in times past, I was like, man, maybe that person was a psychopath. So scary. And they like, at the end of the book, they basically say there's like no hope for them. There's nothing you can do.
Because it's inhumane. Like somebody like that, who you like, you're going down that list and you check off everything. You're like, this person is not a human.
Yeah. They basically say they're monsters.
Like, yeah.
Well, the secular realm basically says these people are without hope. Like there's no hope for them. So you just have to stay away from them because there's no cure.
Or appease them.
Yeah, or you have to appease. Like if you're forced.
The reprobate.
If you're forced to, well, not appease them, but basically you have to.
Reward them.
Reward them.
What?
But just whatever they like.
Their trees. Yeah.
Snickers.
Yeah. Well, they're dogs, so.
Is it good? The audio's good? Yeah. All right.
They're implacable.
Yeah.
But basically you have to reward them.
But it's never going to be enough.
No, exactly. So you have to keep rewarding them with just other things.
Kill them.
Which is interesting because, I mean, a lot of the prisons are filled with psychopaths.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's just like, well, if the secular realm knows there's no hope for them, then why don't you execute them? Because you know that if they get out, whoever they come in contact with, they're going to corrupt, they're going to destroy, it's going to be really bad for that person. Why don't you just, like, kill them? Execute them. But... You know, but what's sad is this, is that like the secular realm understands this. Why can't Christians understand it?
Yeah.
And he literally called it without conscience. Mm-hmm. You know, everything all right? What? Oh, the camera. Just scream out to him, man. Fear not. He's like.
Do-do-do. Arturito.
Arturito. Good book. You guys should read it.
Snaps.
Yeah.
That's scary.
I like reading it just because, like, you know, as a pastor, I need to know if like, people who come through our doors Yeah. Or psychopaths or reprobates,
well,
you
just
know?
Have that checklist in the back of your mind. It's like, okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like three check marks. I think I got to
before
to
someone comes in and fill it out. I'm just kidding.
Hey, take this test.
Can you take this
as soon
test?
As it's like, quick? I got an A. I got an A.
Hey, you feel sorry for me?
The ushers, they're just passing out that test now.
The visitor card.
Yeah,
has, like,
yeah.
Questions on
hey,
it.
Can you fill out these questions?
If you can fill out that visitor's card right there and put it at the bottom, there's a list of 10 questions on there.
If you knew that you could get away with stealing, would you do it? Like one of those questions you
know? Yeah. If the offering plate was by you.
And no one else was around.
Yeah. The usher was looking at the other aisle.
I'm not going to say any names, but there, you know, there's an individual who was here. You know who I'm talking
who
about.
Who was here?
Yeah. Who we ended up kicking out. You were there when I kicked that individual out. Oh, okay. I'm like, that person's a psychopath. For sure.
Just, we can't name?
Nah, I'd rather not. I don't want to give him attention.
We can just bleep it out.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah. Yeah.
You said he. I was thinking she.
I didn't say, I said a person.
No, you said when you kicked him out.
Oh.
Did I say that?
You think she's a guy, too? That makes sense, yo. Yeah, she's psycho, bro.
Yeah.
She got those psycho eyes.
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
She's a vegan. She's got those vegan eyes.
That's it right there.
Yeah. Hey, remember what Adam said?
Yeah.
Yep, the frontal lobe cortex. It's
smoothing out. Ugh, take sandpaper. All that grain just like rubbing against it.
I love eating animals.
Oh, I love that.
Delicious.
I've been like watching like a bunch of carnivore like meal prepping, and I'm like, damn, I want to do
I
that.
You were gonna say I've been watching a lot of Animal Planet.
I wonder what it's like hungry. To eat that animal.
You know what channels or what Zebra page Bird. Is really cool on Instagram? Nature is Metal.
Yeah, I watch.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. You guys following those accounts?
I follow Nature
that,
is Metal.
That account is cool, isn't it?
I always do.
Nature what?
Nature is Metal. Nature
hey, so you know you want to know something cool about
it's
chickens?
Basically animals killing other animals.
Yeah. They, you know how a lot of people say that chickens are vegans, like they don't eat.
Never heard that.
It's a lie.
Yeah, it's actually a big old lie.
Chickens eat rats.
Yeah, they eat rats. They eat lizards. Yeah. So it's like, dude, they're not vegan at all.
Nah. Sensitive content.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Click on it, you'll see it.
Oh, delicious, bro.
I don't know. I wouldn't.
Nature's Metal is awesome. What is that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there's worse. There's
didn't
worse.
I just say
oh,
Zebra Burger?
There's a lot worse. Yeah. There's some cool stuff on there, but it's just showing you, like, the awesomeness of, like,
the
God's creation and carnivores and stuff.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Like, so vegans believe that when we eat animals, we're murdering them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So do they consider other animals as murderers? For killing these animals?
Oh, put them to death now.
I don't know.
I don't think they can think
yeah,
that
I
want to
see.
Why won't? Why
I want to see vegans protest a lions.
They don't think that deep, bro.
I mean, what do you think? Wouldn't that be basically along the lines of what
shallow.
They believe?
They already put humans along the same like height as
because if you think about it, animals are more murderers or they're greater in their murder than we are. Right?
Yeah, they kill the weakest too. They kill. Like,
I don't know
the,
how.
Oh man, they're
babies. And stuff
yeah.
Like that. Yeah.
Vegans people are the weakest.
Do that too.
Vegans are the weakest.
Well, they're on the bottom of the food chain.
There
so are vegans against abortion?
They're all.
I would say
abortion.
Not.
They're for abortion.
Yeah, all of them. I've never
stupid
met a vegan
hypocrites.
That was like against abortion.
I feel like a lot of vegans like live up north in Oregon or something.
Oregon? Why Oregon?
I don't know. It's just like liberal up there.
Because it's wicked. Oregon's wicked.
I think it's only Portland that's liberal.
Exactly.
Portland, yeah.
Portland's, when I think of Oregon, I just
Portland
think of Portland.
Portland is bad. Yeah. Oh, we went to Portland.
We did.
You
oh,
and I.
Baby haters over there.
Baby haters.
Remember we went to that coffee
shop? Oh, man.
And
we went
up there.
We went to this coffee shop because they got good coffee in Portland. Mm-hmm. They got really good coffee. And they got like... a specialty coffee house is like on every corner. Mm-hmm. But we went there, Hike and I, and his wife, and then Jordan, his wife, and their kids. And Zace, well, he was just, you know, Zace was having a hard time, like kids do sometimes. He was crying.
It was Portland.
Well, he was just having a hard time. And man, the
they were mad dogs.
The employee. Yeah, the people there who weren't employees, they were just customers. They're just mad dogging Zace, not the parents.
Yeah,
they were looking at Zace all crazy, and I'm like, "What's up with these people?" And then finally, like the employee was just like, "I'm sorry, I'm gonna have to ask you to leave." You can't be here.
And was she speaking to Zeus also?
Probably.
These people never seen a stroller in their life, bro. Yeah. They don't know what babies are.
Yeah, actually, when we're walking down the street, people were just giving looks
what
and
is
stuff.
That? What kind of car is that?
What is that little person? Is that a little person? Yeah. You were going to say midget, huh? Yeah.
The proper name is dwarf.
Is hey, it? Hey, guys, calm down. Yeah, Ulysses is right there.
What do you prefer, Ulysses?
It's funny because Ulysses actually looked away and he was just like, oh, I hope that don't look very hot. Yeah. Oh, man. Well, speaking of animals hunting animals, let's talk about Hunter Biden. Let's talk about Hunter Biden.
Oh, snap. Crack.
All right, yeah, so
he's a crack hunter. Crocodile.
So what do we know about Hunter Biden?
He's a crocodile.
So this is what happened a couple years back.
The crocodile Dundee.
The crocodile hunter.
The crocodile hunter. No,
crocodile.
I think that's creative.
Hunter Biden, the crocodile hunter. That's a good one.
Thank you.
The crocodile Dundee. Go ahead, Marcos.
So a couple years back, he left the laptop. He took it to go get it repaired at a computer repair shop.
Uh-huh.
And I guess he was drunk when he dropped it off. And then he didn't pick it up. He had a 90-day, basically he had to pick it up within 90 days. If not, then it would be the the computer repair place's property then. So he didn't ever pick it up. And so the guy that owns the repair shop, he started, looking through the laptop and stuff. He's like, oh, well, this is my property now, so I'm just going to look through it. And he finds, a bunch of crap, just a bunch of, deals that they did with Russia, crazy videos as well with that he was doing with people.
Obama
doing
daughters.
Yeah, he was doing math. There's just videos of him doing math, snorting crack.
Come on, man.
So recently these pictures came out, videos came out, and basically he's there's a credit card on one of these pictures, and a credit card they're using this credit card to chop up crack or to cocaine, right? He's using this credit card. But if you zoom in into the card, it's what's her name's?
Malia
Obama's credit card. And so in the pictures too.
Surprise, surprise.
I wouldn't recommend nobody to look at these pictures because it's everybody's not wearing clothes in those pictures.
Oh, dang.
Yeah. It's on Twitter too.
What the heck?
Yeah. Twitter, they censor everything else, but so, yeah, but.
But crack orgies, that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And there's, pictures of him, sleeping with a meth pipe in his mouth and stuff. It's
when I seen that, I thought that looked like they're trying to blackmail him, to mm-hmm. be honest. He passed out.
He probably wanted to get caught.
But here's the thing, though. Why would you be partying with people? You know, he's passed out because he probably passed out drunk or partying for, days. And then they were able to put that meth pipe in his mouth take the picture of him.
But there, I mean, I wouldn't go that as far because there's pictures of him snorting crack.
While he's
so there you go. Snorting coke.
I'm not saying
coke or crack.
Coke.
I think people smoke crack.
Yeah, they smoke crack.
Dude walked in.
I don't know. I've never
laptop.
Done crack or coke. So.
Me neither, but I know that, though.
One good look at his face, and you already know his password is crack.
So. You take a look at the guy. Yeah.
Yeah,
well, you know what? I wouldn't put it past him if he was snorting crack. He probably did, actually, now that I think about it.
But there's also text messages of him, he got really inappropriate with, some young girl. And then,
no!
The mom.
Hunter Biden?
Yeah. The mom was telling him,
like son.
Yeah. telling him, hey, don't get near my daughter. And, she was, going to bring
him. Is that a challenge?
Yeah,
it's his own mom telling him that.
Oh, but so there's this text message that he's texting his his uncle, and his uncle's trying to defend him. He's hey, you know what? We believe you. It's we're gonna just settle this. It's we're gonna basically try to
pay you off,
pay her off, and stuff like that. It's don't worry. It's we believe you, Hunter. We know you wouldn't do anything like this. It's
and smoke this crack.
Yeah. So that guy's evil though, but there's a bunch of the deals with the Ukraine.
Is this him?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh man, look at that.
That guy's
well, that's a cigarette.
The same guy.
It doesn't look like
him. They photoshopped the cigarette in there.
A haircut.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Actually, it kind of does look like him.
Does it?
Yeah. It does, in my opinion. I don't know.
See, the one's more cracked out than the other one.
Well, I mean, crack probably changes you a little bit. I can't expect someone to look exactly the same after you've done crack.
That's a wicked family, man.
Yeah, that picture right there where he's like
which
under
one?
The covers.
This one?
Yeah, that's the one I
see. Oh, yeah,
that's
yeah.
him?
That just looks like he's passed out and then they put...
it just kind of looks like he's sleeping.
Yeah. But you wouldn't sleep with a pipe in your mouth.
Like oh, that. Is he sleeping with the pipe in his mouth?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Man, I didn't even see that. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they probably... I mean, still, where would they get a crack pipe
from?
Yeah,
why would he even be there?
Yeah, exactly.
Because his friends are smoking meth.
Is this him right here?
Oh, dang.
Missing teeth?
Oh, yep.
Yep. That's he's doing crack for sure. Okay, so basically, this is a result of doing crack. He's messed up teeth. And that's why his teeth look all nice now, because basically you got him replaced.
Modern dentistry.
Yeah. Man. So this is Biden's son, huh?
Yeah.
Good night. Man. No wonder Biden talks the way he talks. He's probably doing it with his son. Smoking crack with his
son. They have the same smile. They got a top left corner.
Right here?
Yeah.
They got
the same dentist.
Same dentist. Crazy, man. This is the guy that basically, is he helping his dad out in his campaign or something or what?
I'm not sure. I think he hates his dad. I was listening to Rudy Giuliani talk about some of the content in that.
In his laptop?
In his laptop. And he's talking about how his dad.
Man, I hate my dad. He's always telling me to stop smoking crack. Yeah.
He's always telling me not to do. He's always saying not to smoke too much crack.
I think he hates his dad. I think he probably wanted to get caught.
My whole life, dad.
Maybe.
Because, I mean. Come on, man.
Come on, man. It's but my life, Dad.
They've been sitting on this laptop for like a year now.
Yeah, the FBI, right?
Yeah. So it's like they've known about it for a while now.
Yeah.
It's just like until now they released some things. Because even like the...
Who
the,
released it?
Rudy Giuliani.
Yeah, Rudy Giuliani. But also like...
good
I think,
old Rudy.
I think also the owner of the laptop store too.
Well, he's
because
the one
he downloaded
the hard drive
yeah.
with Rudy Giuliani.
Mm-hmm. Is he a Republican?
I don't know.
What a perfect time. Yeah, I'm still not voting.
Yeah.
What a perfect time to bring it out, huh?
Yeah. Just a week away from the election.
When are the elections?
November
3rd.
November 3rd. When
is that? Next week?
That's next week.
What?
Next Tuesday?
Nah.
Is that, they call it Big Tuesday, right? Or something like that?
Yeah, next Tuesday.
Oh, yeah, it is next Tuesday.
Well,
would you look at that? For all you Fox News Baptists out there, obviously you get there, already know it's next Tuesday. I'm not voting. Any of y'all voting?
Yeah, I don't care.
I never voted before.
So what do you guys think about this new podcast room? I like it.
I like it. I like it a lot.
It's cool.
I think it looks fresh. It
smells good.
It looks sharp. Right?
I like the screen.
Me too. I like the light. Right?
I like that Adam's not here.
Nah, I like Adam on the podcast. What happened?
Is it good? How's Adam going to fit here?
How's that audio doing? Good?
Would Adam...
So basically, the way it's going to work is that one person has to be over there with Ulysses.
Is he going to have a mic over there?
Yeah, he'll have a mic. There's a mic down there. I was already preparing it for him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, or for whoever was going to sit there.
Are you going to put another camera over there too?
You guys are going to have to rock, paper, scissors for whoever sits there.
That's cool.
Yeah, there'll probably be a camera there.
I'm good at that.
Are you a pro at rock, paper, scissors? Yeah, Fox News Baptist right now, they're just like losing.
They're on
right
the
now.
Edge of their seats.
They're on
right
the
now.
Edge of their seats.
The fate of America.
The fate of America.
The fate of churches.
This isn't the most important election in history.
I remember, remember that one guy? He made a whole promo video. If Hillary Clinton gets elected, it's like that means that hope for churches will not be. I was like, what the heck, dude?
Maybe for your church.
Yeah.
Yep. 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 Yep.
Has anyone ever voted? Have you? Voted
I voted.
Before? You voted before?
Yeah.
In class. In my old IB church.
It's like we've all heard of voting, but have any of you actually?
I actually
voted
because I came from an old IFB church where like voting was like an important thing, you know. And they promoted it. Yes. Yep.
Who did you vote for?
I voted for whoever was a Republican like 10 years ago or whatever.
Bush.
That was. Yeah, probably Bush.
Romney.
Oh yeah, probably Romney. No, I think I voted for like a third party.
Yeah, that was the Obama era.
Yeah.
Well, who's the third part? Who's the libertarian at that time?
Ron Paul. I don't know.
I don't remember. I didn't vote Obama. But I either voted for the Republican or the Libertarian.
I thought you said John McCain. Paul. I was like, what?
John McCain.
Sean Paul. Are you talking about that Jamaican guy? Yeah.
I was like, Sean Paul. He ran for president.
Just give me the light, dude.
Never gonna vote.
Yeah, yeah. It's worthless. Too much effort. It's a worthless thing to do.
Yeah. There was like a someone put on one of the mailboxes by my house. It was like mail-in voting is a fraud and all that stuff. And but they like took it down right away. But yeah, like people.
Who took it down?
I don't know.
Probably right here in the city of Baldwin Park, there was a mail-in voting like drop box that like got burnt down. Yeah, like a week ago.
Wow.
Yeah, someone just burnt it down. A bunch of ballots got destroyed. Yeah. Their votes didn't count.
Who cares, dude?
There's a reason it's called the election. It's already elected.
The president's already elected, chosen, predestined.
I'm surprised. You know, Pastor Anderson mentioned this, but it's just like, it's crazy how many new IFB people just became a Fox News Baptist this year. They're all about that, right? You know, the false right-left paradigm.
Yeah.
And they understood the Babylon, and they understood that, you know, it's about the church house, not the White House. But all of a sudden, 2020 comes around. The election comes around. Coronavirus comes around.
All of a sudden,
all these pastors and church members become these Fox News Baptists. Doctrine goes on the back burner. Screw everything else. It's all about patriotism and Americanism. It's nonsense.
Yeah.
I still stand where I stand. There's a couple of people in our church that are probably going to vote, but it's very few. Just Marcos.
It's like Trump 2020.
Huh?
Who would? I don't know. Who cares?
It's literally like two people.
Oh, they told you they were going to vote?
They didn't tell me, but I found out somehow. They don't want to tell me because they think I'm going to like bite their
you
heads
saw
off
their
or something.
Sticker?
I don't even care. Like, if they told me, hey, I'm going to vote, I'd be like, huh? Yeah. Whatever you want.
Cool.
I'm not the
Hope
Baptist
your guy
police.
Wins.
What?
Hope your guy wins. Brother.
Yeah. It's weird. Very strange to say the least. Our fall program is coming to an end in 2 weeks. We have the November birthdays this coming Sunday. And then the following Sunday, we have Pastor Aaron. By the way, we're doing a Rod of Iron podcast with Pastor Thompson.
Cool.
When he comes, because he's going to come awesome. To preach for us on November 8th. And so we're actually going to do it on the 7th on a Saturday. So it won't be on the typical day that we do it. We're going to do it on Saturday instead.
We look like grasshoppers in his sight. He's going to be like around the stage.
Hey, we should do it live.
Huge.
It's not that easy, Marcos.
Well, I know. I did it with you at Ohio.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's too risky to do it on a Saturday with the mini recorders and then switch them over to like for preaching the next day. It's just too risky to have it like malfunction.
Speaking
you
of
don't
Ohio.
Think?
It's already been malfunctioning.
Yeah, but we don't. You want to try that? Let's I guess we could try
it. We can try it. The only thing is, like, we would have to get a new or like a new SSDI cord. Unless you want to take the one.
We'll figure it out.
We'll burn.
All right, guys. Is there anything else? I think that's pretty much it, huh?
Yep.
Well, thank you for tuning in to the Rod of Iron podcast. Tune in next week. Or not next week. The week, the following week. Because we're going to we might actually do it every week now. Now that we have this
we
whole setup.
We got the space.
We got the space to do it.
Yeah.
We might as well just do it every single week. This is episode 9. Stay tuned for the following two episodes. We're going to have Pastor Aaron Thompson is going to be with us. We're going to be discussing the prison industrial complex, actually.
Oh, snap.
So we're going to be talking about that. Looking forward to that. And so, gentlemen, any last words?
No, thank you for tuning in.
Make sure you listen on Spotify. Go to fwbcla.org, click on podcast, and you can listen to all the episodes on there. And that's pretty much it. Have a good night.